Randall?
Yeah, sure.
I believe it is. And they didn't go about once a month was when they had it, because they didn't have no way to go. All they had to go on was load up a horse and buggy or either a wagon and carry a crowd, you know, to church on Sunday. And that's all the way they had to go. And then they just had a, there was a preacher come in about once a month and had service.
What about when you lived in Danville?
Well, now, we used to go to Lee Street Church when we lived in Danville.
That was a Baptist or Methodist?
It's a Methodist, I think, Lee Street was.
How often would you walk up?
Well, we went just about every Sunday because we went to Sunday school and church on Sunday morning.
Now, who would go together?
Well, me and my mother and daddy, we would go on Sunday morning. But
did they take an active part in the church business in any way?
Or? Well, not too much in the active part of it.
Were they real devout believers?
Or? Oh, yeah, they were.
And they felt that was a real important part of their life?
That's right. Sure it is.
And they, did you all read the Bible a lot at home or anything like that?
Well, yeah. My mother and daddy, they was a great believer in reading the Bible. And they would read the Bible a lot.
Well, now, what I think we're working up to the time about it. Maybe you can correct me that the strike came along. Or,
yeah.
When
the strike came along.
When was that, Anna? About.
What year was that strike?
And you had been working,
I believe it was
there for about three or 4 years.
Oh yeah, I had been there a good while when that strike when the strike
came off. We moved back in the fall. That was 28. Yeah, it was about 29.
About 29, I imagine it was when they had strike.
And
we used to stay out on picket line.
Well, how did that happen to begin with? What was the cause of it?
The strike.
Yes.
Well, they were striking for higher wages is what they're after, more money.
Why did it happen right then instead of 10 years before?
Well, they hadn't organized then. They didn't have no union there. Uh-huh. See, they organized a union, and they voted to come out on a strike for more money.
And you were working there then?
Yeah, I was working there then. Uh-huh.
And you voted to come out?
Yeah, they voted to come out.
Who would have been the people that organized the union? Do you remember who they were or where they came from? Or
yeah, I know.
Northern section of the country, Bullock and a bunch of them, you know, heading up.
Don't
they
remember.
Changed representatives of leaders of this Texas Workers Union several times. So we would know that.
I don't remember.
Have been some organizers who had come from
the
North.
Experienced organizers.
Yeah,
right. And do you remember going to any meetings?
No, I never did go to the meetings. No, I didn't. I didn't go to the meetings.
And what was the vote? How did that turn out?
Well, the majority voted to strike.
Was it a pretty large majority?
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Sure was.
And so what do you remember about the strike?
Well, I can remember we stayed out on the strike and had a little old place down there, we stayed to keep a fire to keep warm, run in and keep warm. He used to come up down there when we was on strike.
I'd have to go back on there.
And
I'd go back spending morning with them.
I can remember some. Now, I didn't get into none of that. But I can remember them, bunch of them get together and turn cars around and make streetcars go back and just get up around, you know. And sometimes they get in a scrap out there over things like that. I never did take no part in that.
But you were on the picket line.
Yeah, I was on the picket line, but I didn't take no part in their scrapping and things over trying to make, you know.
There were lots of men and women involved.
Oh yeah, there was men and women both involved. Mm-hmm.
And how long did that go on?
Do you remember how long that lasted?
Pretty close to 12 months.
About 12 months, I believe.
How did you all keep going?
Well, they had commissaries set up that they gave you food. See, they set up commissaries and give you food. You went and got your food that way.
And as it went on, did people get more angry or bitter or upset with you?
Well, I think the longer it went, the angrier they got, you know. But.
And did the mill, did it stay closed through this?
No, it was still open.
Well, at, always, if they didn't get to come to work.
As many as they could get to come in to work, you know, if they could get somebody to come in.
Lay out for breaking,
of course,
is impossible.
There would there's some few, you know, that they would get to come in and work. But I didn't go in and see it. I stayed out. But after it was over, of course, I went back to work and worked. Until I was married, as I say, and I stayed there until I was married.
Did you never go back to work, did
you? Yes, I did, too. Did
you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did they, when it was over, did they let all the people who were on strike go back to work?
I think the biggest part of them went back,
they,
yeah.
They let them go back, but they began to weed them out, you know. Mm-hmm. The ones that took active part, stuff like that, they began to weed them out, you know. As they didn't like the way they parted their hair or something, or they let them go for something. Mm-hmm. But they'd replace them, you know, whenever they thought they could.
Mm-hmm. And what did people feel like they had gained anything out of the strike? Or?
Other than a national thing, the recognition is what's after anyway, see. And now your leaders operate a little bit different than what the worker would. They go in and get these agreements. And they don't study the conditions of the workers they'll have to put up with afterwards. But nevertheless, these particular strike back in them days for recognition, you had no recognition of the South at all in the Texas Union. And that was one of the big drives. Well, we said that didn't mount to hill of beans. People lost their houses and stuff like that. Well, so what? Up in the northern section when they got a decent wage. So now, after all this combined, brought about, you know, Social Security laws and saw that the federal government had to listen to something. And so they went to work then to get better living standards in America for working class people. They weren't left out in the rain. So back in them days, you might say that was what that one was mostly for.
So you see it as something that really has taken a long time, and this was.
That's right. You realize how long it took a locomotive, a railroad company to put a headline on a locomotive engine? You know how long it took them to get that headline on that engine? 50 long years. Organized labor demanded it. But negotiating, talking back and forth, had lamps back in the old days, you know, inside it, like a boogie did, you know, in the first car and back. But I've been told from International it took them 50 years to get that headline on a locomotive.
Oh, you didn't have no electricity back then,
did you? Well,
we used lamps and lanterns.
Do you remember when you went back to work after that strike, how you felt about it?
I just didn't feel no different myself.
Did you feel at the time it was going on that you were part of the union in that sense?
Well, yeah.
You felt a
While I was out there with them, I felt like I was a part of it. But when I went back to work, I didn't have no different feeling about it.
Did your family or you all lose your house or anything like that?
No,
so they
were renting the house.
Did the company evict any people who were in the company houses during that strike?
Not that I know of. They, Schofield owned, they just like, all the companies, they had all the houses up at Schofield, they owned their houses, but not that I know of, because we didn't live in a company house then. We didn't live in a company house.
What do you remember about the picket lines? How would those be organized? And what time of day would you come? And how long would you stay?
Well,
shifts.
We had shifts. I don't forgot how many hours shifts did they have. About,
I don't know when it rotates.
They rotate different hours. Sometimes you're on of morning, sometimes you'll be on the afternoon.
The picket line was for the purpose of urging people to stay out.
Yes.
That's all it was for, anyways.
Uh-huh.
Try to keep people from going in the mill. But I...
And would there be men and women on the picket line?
Oh, yeah. And when they built them a little old shack to stay in and have a fire so they could go in and get warm, keep from getting cold, you know. And...
What did the people who were in the town that didn't work in the mill or who, say, ran the businesses and cafes and worked in the stores, what did they think about the strike? Did you get support?
They didn't want to go on.
They didn't want it to go on
because
Natchez was hurting the business. But,
they said it was nonsense.
Natchez, they'd say it was nonsense. But, that's what hurt the business because we didn't have no business going on at that time.
And so now you went back to work there, and then you all got married in 1931.
Mm-hmm.
And you left.
Yeah.
How soon after you got married?
We left, went to South Boston. That's why we went to South Boston and lived.
Married the 26th of December, that January, went to South Boston.
And why was it that you went there? Because you were working there?
Yeah,
he was working there at that time, see.
And they let me have a house right off, you know, down through the Fountain Street.
He was working there, and we went there to live. And we lived there until he was laid off for work there, as he already told you. And we went back then to Danville.
And you,
but I didn't go to work.
Okay. When y'all went to South Boston, you stopped going to work?
I didn't work anymore.
And then you had... a child pretty soon after you.
In about a year, yeah.
And that would have been Peggy?
Yeah, that's fine.
And then you looked after the children and...
I stayed at home.
Now, did you have a doctor come to deliver the children or had it?
Yeah.
Most of them in the hospital.
And most of them were in the hospital.
Well, no, not then. Because the doctors would go out to your house and deliver children then. There was two... born after we came here. It was born in a hospital. The rest of them was born at home. But doctors won't go out now. They would then, but they won't go out to your house no more.
And so then you never went back in the mills at all?
No, uh-uh. I didn't go back to work. Because I had a job at home. I had five girls and one boy, and that was a job.
And they all went to school, began going to school when they were 6 years
old?
Yeah,
they went to school when they were six. And I worked until they finished high school. All of them finished high school. And then they all got jobs and went to work and married off. And ain't none of them here now.
When you all were involved in these strikes and things, did you hear the news about other strikes in other parts of the South during that those years? Do you remember any others?
I don't remember any myself. I don't know.
Well, only you had representatives coming in telling what other locals were doing.
Yeah.
You had representatives coming in on all these strikes, keeping you well informed of the movement. And then if you got problems of food and housing and stuff like that, they help you out with it, see. And now, then you didn't have no National Labor Relations Board or nothing like that to help you out with it. Now you've got, they can call election and you plan if you got majority signed up whenever you want election. And you decide that you're ready for election. And you wouldn't do it unless you thought you had a majority that was signed, see, would vote. And they send the National Labor Relations Board representatives in and have the election in the plant. And majority went out. Of course, we're going to try to get bargaining rights. But all the companies don't do it in the South. J.P. Stevens been fighting for years and still ain't recognized.
Did you all know about the strike, say, in Gastonia at the Lorraine Mill in 1929?
Yes, we heard about them and all that. But this is the largest one that I reckon ever heard of in the South. This downriver mill is so big, you know. Worked about 12,000 hands.
And how many of those would have gone out on the strike of the 12,000?
Well, to begin with, they closed it down. But in persuasion of management and so forth, they'd get different ones to come back in. And so as the times got hard, as the holes become in your breeches, one man swam downriver to get back in there. And it just depended on what you had in you. You start off with a thing, and your chance you get wore out at it. See, and they management is so well arranged financially and physically and educationally wise that they can take that worker and brainwash him. And they'll take him in there and just show him that they're in such a shape that they can't do no better. And they're fixing by other mills all the same time. We felt sorry for Burlington Industries here two or three times. They make you think they was on the verge of taking up collection or something for them, fixing to buy another mill. And, well, it's the richest company in the world now. And they got power with the representative of the land. And, of course, now as change is made, the boss men have to work different. They got better educations in there as boss men. And Burlington Industries worked to that end. For the last several years, getting nothing but college graduates, the supervisors, the managers, their help, you know. And said, talk it time and time again. You go into the office, call you in the office, they come and get you, let's go in the office a minute. Go in there and talk. And just talking to you in a way to just find out what kind of caliber you got. And if you lost your mind, they sure find that out. And if you wouldn't qualify, well, it just, one fellow would just actually suggest that you quit. Take that away. They want the people to step around. And in other words, where you used to get 4 yards, they want 8 now, less money. And of course, you've got a minimum wage, and you got to come up to that. Now, they've brought in industries are fortunate enough to be able to stay maybe 15-20% above the average mill in the South. And they're wage policy and so forth, but other smaller places not able to do as well. But now that fellow like Roxburgh, Colin Akron, see, told us that story down there, paying us $12-$14 a week, but the other guy get $125. They built 7 mills down here since then. But your caliber is supposed to produce for them. And now, Ms. Love in West Palm Beach, Florida, she'll talk to you an hour or two at a time on telephone and tell you that the people in Alamance County made them, see, back in her days. And I don't know which one of them it is, which is one of the four.
Well, now, there was a little strike here that we heard some about at the Plaid Mill back in...
That was before we come here, I believe.
There was something in about 1934.
That said wildcat stuff going through.
A dynamiting or something like that. Do you remember that at all?
I don't believe we'd come here then. I don't believe we'd got here then.
I don't remember.
No, we hadn't moved over here then.
I don't believe we had come here.
You know, several people had to spend some time to pen.
For that?
Yeah. Doris, I expect.
We're going to have to bring this to an end anyway.
That's good.